Philip, we don't usually do this, but we've had some major, major news in the Doctor Who universe. Do you see what I see up ahead?
I'm guessing it might be a dark place.
It is a very, very dark place. We just have to jump in. It's a rabbit hole. Here we go. Okay, so Philip, the announcement that we woke up to today was
No, I didn't wake up to it. I was up late when it came out, and I was up for several hours after it came up because it came out. So,
Oh, so you're
what did you wake up to, Dwayne?
Well, I woke up to the news that RTD is coming back to showrun our favorite TV series, and my first thought was, "Oh, it's fake news." I didn't believe it, so I had to do a bit more digging and prodding to find out that it was actually true. Tell us about your discovery of it.
Well, the same thing happened to me last night, which was I was sort of getting ready, close to bed. Actually, my eldest daughter and I have been watching through The Dollhouse. I'm not sure if you know The Dollhouse series by Buffy Crater. And so we were watching very late episodes, doing a bit of a binge there. And my son came out to me with the news that Russell T. Davis was taking over. I didn't believe it. I thought it must be fake news. And I did some searching, and it was on the official BBC website. And I was very excited. And so I spent the next hour or two starting to tweet away and watch the tweets and see what was happening. So I went to bed in a very happy mood last night.
I bet you did.
Yeah. So how are you feeling about it all? What's your first emotional feelings?
My first thought was excellent. Very happy about that because Russell T. Davies was very different to the other showrunners that we've had, including Moffat, because Russell T. Davies has been able to connect with the general audience more than anyone else ever, I think, in the history of the show. Probably the only one who's connected with the general audience so much has been probably JNT. But that was during a time when Doctor Who wasn't so popular in the 80s, but RTD sort of shot it through to mega awareness, and it was very cool to be a fan of Doctor Who once again when RTD took over. So I was very happy about that. As far as, because obviously we talk about audio and that's our main focus on the podcast, it got me reflecting on the fact that earlier in the year when we spoke to Gary Russell, he did mention during his interview that, well, I was talking with Gary about the fact that when the new series was announced under RTD in the first place, I was in a bit of a panic because I thought maybe this means the end of Big Finish. And Gary told us during that interview that it was actually Russell that insisted to the BBC that Big Finish keep going. So we have him to thank for what we love on the side of, it's not really a sideline to us, it's more of a main thing, but for people in general, Big Finish has been going this long because of RTD as well. So one of my concerns recently has been, with it's obvious that the popularity of Doctor Who has declined, not just in fandom, but I think across the board in general awareness, it is definitely nowhere near what it was under RTD. And so I was starting to get a little bit concerned and think, well, is if the BBC gets sick of it, is there going to be someone in the BBC like Michael Grade who says, okay, we've had enough of it, we're not going to do licenses anymore, and they suddenly pull the pin on Big Finish and their ability to make Doctor Who for us the way we've enjoyed it over the last 20 years? I've been concerned about that. And that was probably the big thing for me. It was when I heard RTD was coming back, I thought, excellent. That means he's going to be a huge supporter for Big Finish as well. So whatever happens with the TV show, I felt a little bit better about the future of Big Finish Doctor Who too.
Yeah, it definitely guarantees the license for Big Finish for many more years. I think they had it extended by, I think, 3 years was the last time. So they still had a license for another couple of years to go. But with Russell coming in to take over in, what is, 2023, so it's still 2 years away. So, I mean, we're getting excited about something that's 2 years away. But it was like this when we first knew the show was coming back. So that guarantees, once he gets in, he'll be in for, we know for the special, for the 60th anniversary special. We know he'll be in for at least a series after that. So, Big Finish has its license, pretty well guaranteed. And no doubt they'll apply for another 3, 4, 5 year license during that time. So, Big Finish is pretty safe to go for a long time. And also, it also means that the BBC will also, no doubt, keep handing on other properties to them. So, Yeah, at the moment, I don't think they've got the license to use anything after Jodie. So if something's Jodie on, but no doubt that will actually open up the license later on. I think, you know, Russell will make sure the BBC lets them have hold of anything they might want. So that, you know, that means we can actually be seeing further stories that way along as well.
I also feel, I've also seen some comments on social media being a little bit skeptical too about the political agendas that entertainment in general has seemed to wanted to, or the paths that entertainment in general has wanted to go down in terms of their political agenda, and worried that, yeah, RTD seems to be on their side, and it doesn't necessarily mean just because he's coming on that that's going to change. But I don't think that really matters, because I think for me, RTD's ability as a writer, forget the fact he's just showrunner, but just as a writer, is that he can pull in people of a general audience and have them sort of transfixed to the screen. So no matter what happens, whether people are talking, oh, well, he's going to retcon the Timeless Children, or he's going to, you know, completely ignore it, whatever he does, I have a much higher level of confidence that no matter what happens, he'll be able to do something with it that sort of changes the trajectory of the TV show, which will have flow-on effects not just for the TV show, but for everything else as well. So flow-on effects for the, you know, comics and for audio drama and merchandise, everything. I think he has the ability to do that because it's the general audience that has always made Doctor Who popular. Look at the 70s. That was the golden age of the classic era. It was, you know, because Doctor Who struggled in the 60s, towards the end of the 60s, don't forget. It was the general audience tuning in during the 70s that kept Doctor Who alive.
Yep.
And it's still the same. It's the general audience that's going to keep Doctor Who alive today, which has positive benefits for people like us who tap into those other strands of storytelling like Big Finish. So, I'm a lot more confident now that everything's going to be okay.
I think it shows the BBC actually does care about Doctor Who. There's been a lot of discussion in terms of, you know, they've stopped caring, which certainly felt, in one sense, it felt like they'd done it during the Sylvester McCoy era, which actually gave the producers and the creatives a lot more freedom. Is, I think, why Sylvester's last two seasons are so good, because the BBC just wasn't watching and didn't care. But this actually does show that the BBC does care about the property. I'd love to know how it came about. I do wonder whether the BBC reached out to the father of the new series, because I think we could say Russell T is the father, the rebirth of the show. So, you know, we talk about Verity being the mother of the show originally. I think Russell is very much, he set the standard for what to expect.
Yeah.
And the reshape of the show, because the show did come back very reshaped from, he could have tried to copy and clone the original Doctor Who, which in some ways he did with the Sarah Jane Adventures. They were the 25 minutes series, the family orientated, a lot of fun. So we got Doctor Who in the classic style back with Sarah Jane, but he remodeled the new show in a 45 minutes format, no cliffhangers. I mean, the cliffhangers, the teaser. He gave us, you know, modern doctors out of costume, theoretically. So he brought a lot of stuff and recreated. So I think we could call him the father of the show. I'd love to know, did the BBC come to him and say, ratings are dropping, we don't know what to do next, will you come back? Or whether he went and said, this is a show I love, it needs a bit of help, I'm going to come back to it now.
Whether he offered.
So I don't know whether he, I'd love to know, and I'm not sure we'll ever find out.
Also thinking about the new arrangement too, because this is now a co-production between,
yes,
not just BBC Drama, but BBC Studios, which is a different area of the BBC, and Bad Wolf Productions, which is headed by Jane Tranter, don't forget, and Julie Gardner. So Julie Gardner being, I think, one of the often unsung heroes of the revival. So if anyone's, if anyone's the mother of the new series, it would have to be either Jane Tranter or probably more than likely Julie Gardner would be the mother of the new series. So all those people coming back and having some kind of involvement with it is an exciting prospect. Is it possible to be cynical that the show is looking backwards? It's possible to be cynical about everything, I think. But if you look at what they have done, particularly what Russell T. Davies has done since Doctor Who. His quality has never dropped, and everything he does gets bums on seats, and people talk about it. There's a huge buzz about it, about everything he does. The most recent thing was It's a Sin, so that got huge, huge ratings, and people from all spectrums, political and otherwise, were talking about that series as one of the most exciting things that he's ever done.
Yeah, and both popular and award-winning. So it managed to tick all the boxes.
Yes, yes.
But both critically acclaimed, but also popular.
Yeah. So, yeah, whether they're looking backwards or not, I think it's a coup for the BBC to actually get him back, to be honest, because he could do whatever he wants. And, you know, Doctor Who, it's known to not be the easiest job in the world. So... with the way this is being set up, it may be structured so it's a little bit easier for him. He may be bringing in some more writers. He may take his hands off the... what's the word I'm looking for? Might not be so hands-on with the full control. I don't know. Maybe he's taking more of a Barry Letts role in season 18. Who knows? But somehow I doubt it. He just doesn't seem that personality.
Having read the writer's tale, and even I hadn't realised how much he rewrote so many of the scripts. So many of those scripts, which, you know, and he's, you know, some of my favorite ones, which his name's not on them, he basically wrote the whole thing. So he never put his name, he co-authored a script until the specials. He did that because, you know, for lots of reasons. But having read through The Writer's Tale, I'm so excited just in terms of understanding how it worked. I think you're right in terms of Chibnall has decided deliberately to do no publicity, no nothing, to make everything a surprise. And people talk about the fact that, oh, Russell let everything out. Actually, Russell didn't. There were so many things he managed to keep secret. He gave out so much information that he was actually able to hide stuff in the quiet. And so, really, you know, when suddenly things like Kylie suddenly emerged as being, you know, in a show, Rose appearing at the end of episode one of the fourth season, there was all kinds of shocks and surprises he kept along the way, but he buried them amidst the publicity and keeping the show always in the public image. So I think that's one of the things he brings. I think you're right. Julie is going to bring just the support and her brilliance. And she just knows how to get money out of people. So in terms of being able to raise the finances that the show needs, the fact is a co-production. I actually do suspect they went to the BBC and actually they went, you know, what are you doing? How about we do this? And the BBC's gone. It's not making as much money. It's dropping its ratings. Let's sort of off-site it, which is what they're sort of doing. They're moving it off-site. So I think that's a very successful and smart move. Of course, now the interesting thing now is what's going to happen with the Doctor. So it was always going to be very hard to cast anyone as the Doctor, partly because as a show in decline, the big names would want to touch it. But now it's Russell's name back on it. I think Russell can pull in anyone again.
Mm, yeah.
But he may not want to go for a name. I mean, David Tennant was a nobody. It was just one of his ensemble players from one of the shows he'd done before. So in terms of looking for the Doctor, I'd be looking at some of his previous ensemble players. I don't think it'd be from anyone about It's a Sin. I think they're all too young a cast. So Time and Time would be sort of... So my pick at the moment would be someone like Russell Tovey, who I know Russell loves working with, who's one of his players in several of his shows, I think would be a magnificent Doctor. I think it was going to be very controversial in terms of what you do in terms of, because we gender changed the Doctor last time with Jodie, the question was always going to be, it's everything was going to be political. Do you do another female? If you don't do another female, are you saying you've rejected that it was a failed thing? Do you go for someone of colour? What do you do in terms of the Doctor next, in terms of what would some part of the public expect? I think the fact that Russell is back, I think Russell has a free hand now and he'll get away with, if he wants to go back to a white male, he'll get away with going back to a white male. But if he wants to stay and do another woman, if he wants to go colour, I think whatever he wants to do, he has a power about him and a personality about him that people are going to accept. So, in fact,
he has the ability as a storyteller.
Yeah. But
so it doesn't. So I don't really care who he casts as the Doctor, because I have a lot of confidence in him as a storyteller, and that's what's important about Doctor Who. And I have no doubt that he'll be able to that he'll be able to rally the stories to suit whoever is cast.
Yeah, well, I suspect he already knows who's casting. I wouldn't be surprised. We won't hear for a while, but I have no doubt. I mean, the fact they're filming the last season now, I mean, I guess they've left it open, the regeneration. I'm not sure if it's been filmed yet. It probably has been filmed. They've possibly left it open in terms of inserting the actor. But yeah, it's he knows it. He knows who it is. We don't know yet, but that's going to be announced pretty soon.
Do you think so?
After the sixth, I think so. I think we'll probably hear who it is after the six episodes. I think before they release the three specials, I think we'll know who is coming. But I think they'll probably wait till after the six. Whenever we don't know when that's starting now.
So that brings us to the 60th anniversary. That's going to be the first episode that he show runs in this second run of his. So what do you think is going to happen, and what do you want for a 60th?
It's interesting. I think actually it's in some ways it's the worst time for him to start, because 60th, the expectation will be a looking back. And so he's going to want to take the show forward. And so his first series, and however long that's going to be, I mean, you know, the current one of six is depressing. I'm hoping he'll manage to get it back up to 10, 12, or 13, which I think is more than likely is what he'll try and do. So I think his first complete series will be the step forward. I think the sixth is in some ways has to be a celebration of what's gone past. So I would almost be surprised. I'm not sure we'll even see a new Doctor in the 60th. I mean, I think he could get away with not doing a new Doctor and just using past Doctors,
okay,
and telling a tale of past Doctors, which I think could be a lot of fun. And he's got plenty to work with. And once again, the classic Doctors may all be too old. We do know they can de-age people now. If they can do it with ABBA, they can do it with the Doctors. I don't know how expensive that technology would be. You know, could they bring back Peter Davison in a major role and just de-age him? I don't know. I don't know whether Chris Eccleston will come back. There's a part of me that says, actually, had it been someone else, he might do, but when it's Russell, I'm still not sure whether Chris's issue is more BBC or more Russell. Certainly he didn't want to return to the Doctor, but you know, with Big Finish, he's made a triumphant return. He's much loved. He's feeling the love. He's attending conventions. He's doing a second season. So Big Finish has brought him back into the Doctor Who fold. And the fact that it's not a BBC direct production, if the issue is not Russell, we could see Chris come back. And to have Chris come back would be amazing. You've still got Paul McGann, who I would still love to see come back. And you know, Russell appreciates him as an actor. We've got David there. I think we'd get Matt back. I think Peter would come back. Question would be whether or not Jodie would come back for that special. But I think anything's on the cards now with Russell. He's such a name. He's, you know, the only thing that's the possible only thing not on the cards is Chris, because Chris had such a hard work first season. And I appreciate it was awful for everyone in terms of they had no idea how to make the show. And, you know, reading through the writer's tale, you know, at the end of the first day, they were a week behind filming, which is hard to believe, but that's how, you know, they had no concept. They thought they could actually do three locations in the first day. It's like a normal drama. That's how many pages they could get through. And they couldn't even get through one scene in the first day.
Yeah.
And poor Chris, who's a very much a professional, a very methodical, very much, you know, this is how we plan things out, felt he was working with a crew of people who didn't have a clue what they were doing. But that being said, he might be turned now.
You never know.
What are you hoping for the 60th?
Oh, my initial thought was, I'm a huge fan of Zagreus, to be honest.
Right.
A lot of people don't like Zagreus, which was a very unusually done anniversary story. It was something that's never been done before or since, I venture to say, in terms of an anniversary special anyway. So I would be happy with something very experimental when it comes to a celebratory story, but I don't think that'll happen because it's too much of a fanny thing to do.
Yeah. So it would have to be something... You could bring the classic Doctors back that way in other parts easily, couldn't you?
Yeah, you could. You could actually.
And we have the curator now.
Yeah.
Tom Baker. So there's no reason why we couldn't somehow feature the other surviving classics.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. But I think it's not going to be what I want. It's going to be what Russell thinks is going to grab the current general television viewing audience. That's what the show needs.
Yeah.
And I'm a fan, so I'm not qualified to say what a general audience needs. I can only speculate on what I want. But I just know that in most cases, I was very happy with everything that RTD delivered. So I'm happy at this stage, very happy. Yeah. And most of all, I'm happy for Big Finish and other licensees who are going to have more. I think they're going to be feeling a lot more secure with their license holdings and the stories that they may have planned years in advance, that they're still going to be able to keep producing those for some time to come.
You know what? This has given me an excitement about the end of Jodie as well, in terms of I was feeling a bit ho-hum about what was coming. But I'm actually thinking now, well, we know what's coming after Jodie. I think I can actually sit back now and enjoy Jodie's last season better. Okay. And knowing it's in good hands down the track, I think I feel much more like I can sit back, I can relax, because I know the future is solid. So rather than being nervous in terms of, is this season going to flop? Are more people just going to leave the show? I think because we know what's coming, I think more people will actually tune in. I think hopefully the audience numbers will grow slightly. And there's always a fondness when you know someone's leaving towards them. Not glad to be rid of, but just in terms of, I think we'll be able to relax a bit more and be hopefully just be able to relax, enjoy the end of the Jodie Chibnall era, knowing the show is safe and secure, that the numbers really don't matter. Yeah, so we don't have to worry about, is the whole show going to tank now, et cetera, because we know it's coming back. We know it's in strong hands. And I think that's going to give us a lot more freedom to enjoy what we have.
Yeah, I was certainly concerned that I don't think I was concerned, but I was kind of had in my mind that the show was definitely going to be rested. There were rumors out there that was going to happen. Not that I listened to rumors, but I certainly felt that, probably could do with a rest. And in some ways, with the sparsity of episodes between now and 2023, November 2023, it is going to get a bit of a rest, particularly from the public perception. So the public's going to get a good break from Doctor Who. And when it comes back, I think on telly, it's going to be back with a bang.
Yeah. But the licensees would be so excited. The merchandise people, the figurines, Big Finish. Let's face it, this is good news for everyone and good news for the show for at least another 5 years.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyone who wants to hear some new Russell T Davies before that, of course, is it probably a few months, maybe 6 months? I can't remember exactly when it's going to be released. I think it's in the first quarter of next year. The Minds of the Hodiak, I think Russell T Davies' script is called. That's a story that he wrote in the mid-80s for The Sixth Doctor and Mel, was it? Yeah, so Mind of the Hodiak stars The Sixth Doctor and Mel. So that should be quite interesting. See what Russell was doing back in the 80s. But that's probably going to boost sales of that one too, this current news.
No doubt, yeah. So that's coming out in March next year.
March, also, so it's not too far away.
That's right. There's also his audiobook Dark Season, which is...
Oh, yes, I forgot about that, yeah.
Yep, so that's coming out in November this year.
Right.
So that's about to come out. So that's pretty exciting. So that's good. And then there's still the Damaged Goods, which is really worth listening to. It's probably one of the best Big Finish to series where they turned some of the classic novels into teleplays. So the novel adaptions and Damaged Goods was by Russell T, and it's a really stunning story as well. So there's Russell T to go listen to on Big Finish, and he still consults with them all the time. Whenever they use these characters, they send them scripts or notes, he comments on them. Hmm. So a lot of the great ideas we get on Big Finish are because Russell's still taking an interest and feeding stuff to them.
All right. So I hope you enjoyed that little diverting bonus episode from the Sirens of Audio, but everyone else is talking about it. So we want to have a turn too.
Yes, we do.
And feeling pretty good about it. So
indeed.
Let's jump out of the rabbit hole and we'll catch you on our regular broadcast.
Don't forget to join us on Thursday, where we've got Jason Haig Ellery. So we'll talk about the father of Doctor Who, with the father of Big Finish, the owner of Big Finish. He's talking with us on Thursday. So come and join us for our episode with him and hear some of the stuff from the past, the present, and the future.
Good stuff. Catch you then.
Me, me.